Hey everyone, Mike Nelson here. Just a quick note before this kind of special episode. This is an interview with John Hodgman, the author of Medallion Status. Happens to be a pal of both Connor and I, know him professionally. And he used to be a book editor. It'll all be explained in the interview, but just a note about the sound. We had to call John on his busy schedule. And as things always happen, there were gremlins in the system, and we ended up having to talk to him over the phone. Now, the audio is not over the phone, so it's very listenable, but there's at times just a tiny bit of compression, and hopefully it won't be too annoying. I don't think it is, but just if you hear it, just know that in advance. But otherwise, a perfectly pleasant interview with a very funny guy. This is Connor starts off, and then I jump in at the end. And you'll hear us actually pass the phone off. That's how professional 372 pages is. Anyway, enjoy this special interview with John Hodgman.
Talking with John Hodgman today. Mike is running the board. I am going to conduct this interview over phone because, as John so eloquently put it, shit is fucked up. But
wait a minute. Wait a minute. Mike is running the board. I don't get to talk to Mike.
Well, I will pass the phone to Mike, and then we will try to make this even more complicated than it already is.
Wait a minute. I have to talk to you, Connor. Mike's the star. This is as bad as it was at that party.
Oh, man.
With the dogs.
So funny you should mention that. We wanted to talk to you, yes, about the dogs, because that is a key component of your new book, Medallion Status. So key that it's actually on the cover.
Those dogs are on the cover of my new book, Medallion Status.
And
because they're more famous than I am.
But there are also enamel pins of these dogs as well, I saw today.
Yeah, I'll explain it all at the end.
But yeah, let's
when I do the call to action, as they say in podcasting.
Let's walk back to that fateful night, which was, I believe, 3.5 years ago.
It was January of 2015.
Yes.
I was a slightly younger person. We were all slightly younger then, except for the time travelers.
It was a simpler time. What is your recollection of that night? Because it's firmly embedded in my mind, because I sort of orchestrated the whole thing.
Oh, but I remember that night so clearly. A night of infamy in my life. When I, John Hodgman, who at that time was still on television sometimes, now not so much, had gone to the San Francisco Sketchfest and performed there. And then was invited back to a secret room. The subtitle of my book, Medallion Status, Two True Stories from Secret Rooms. Adam Savage, the famous Mythbuster, has a secret workshop in San Francisco where he hosts parties during one party each year for the comedians of the San Francisco Sketchfest, and invites them back to his lair, his cave, as he calls it. Now, Connor, you obviously know Adam Savage. You know he's a famous Mythbuster. But his true passion is prop replication.
Yeah, of course.
He pours all his myth-busting money into making perfect replicas of props from famous movies. Like, he'll make a perfectly authentic Maltese Falcon with the same materials they would have made an actual Maltese Falcon out of back in the day. I don't know what that is.
He has a perfectly replicated bong from How High, starring Method Man and Redman.
It's funny what you remember from that. There's so much. I never noticed the perfect bong.
No, that's it.
I know he's got about 35 perfect replicas of Harrison Ford's blaster from Blade Runner. He's got a perfect replica of Tom Skerritt's spacesuit from Alien. There's an incredible full-size Admiral Akbar from Star Wars, but Admiral Akbar is wearing a perfect replica of the Napoleonic War era Admiral's outfit from Master and Commander, which is an incredible look. What else do you remember from that night?
I remember
what things. Did you see?
He has the whips from Raiders. He's got the idol from Raiders. He had. Yeah. I wanted to approach him because he has all his materials there. I thought that a task he should undergo would be to make the world's largest pair of googly eyes. But I never got the nerve to suggest that to him.
He makes all these things by his own hand and stocks them in this room and then invites comedians over once a year to a secret party and just enjoys himself watching nerd head explosions. And I was there feeling good about myself, just sitting in Captain Kirk's chair, making all the beep boop noises on the button, pressing the buttons. And I see these two dogs being carried around by these two people. I don't know who these people are. They're not comedians. So I turn to our friend Kevin Murphy. Kevin Murphy, I say, who invited those people with the dogs? And Kevin says, oh, they were not invited. The dogs were. And I said, what the hell are you talking about, Kevin Murphy? And he explained that a young man named Connor Lestoka is a big fan of dogs, specifically corgis on Instagram, specifically these two corgis on Instagram, Linus the Corgi and Chompers the Corgi. And I was told, Connor, that you invited these dogs to a human party. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I these two dogs are probably my Chompers is my top Instagram corg. Linus is his, he goes along for the ride a lot of times with Chompers. And right. I knew they were both in San Francisco because they take pictures of them with the Golden Gate Bridge in the background. So when we came out right. to do this Riff Track show at Sketchfest, I, left them comments saying, do you want to come to a comedy show? And assuming they would not be interested in going to a random stranger's, claiming that he's doing a comedy show in the city. And then the day before, when we were at the rehearsal dinner, I guess, or just having dinner before before everything got started, they wrote to me and said, yes, we would love to come. But they were not allowed in the theater. So Adam graciously said they could come to his man cave workshop, whatever he calls it. And, that is how they ended up there. They're both yeah. very, they're two owners came to the show, but then the dogs were waiting in the car or the holding pen or something like that. So they came running out of there. I invited them into the show and heads turned as soon as they entered the room.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone was paying a lot of attention to these corgis. Corgis are adorable dogs, I have to confess, because, they always have such a cheerful look on their face. They're always smiling, even though someone cut their legs off. They're lovely dogs, and everyone's like, oh, be quiet, John Hodgman. I'm going over to talk to these corgis. And it was very nice of you to invite them to the show and very nice of Adam to invite them to his cave. But you're both monsters because you didn't consider how it would make me feel.
And how did it make you feel?
Let me put it this way. I had just performed on stage. I had gone to San Francisco to perform comedy on stage. And I had been invited to this party afterward as a comedian. I had performed on stage telling comedy jokes in English, which I speak, while standing on 2 feet, not four. And plus, I can sweat all over my body, not just my tongue. I don't just have to pant. I'm a human being with a craft. And these corgis got invited to my party because they were dogs, period. Just for being dogs. And I don't even think they know who Admiral Akbar is. You know what I mean? Like, it's not for them. It's for me. They don't know what planet Admiral Akbar is from. The answer is Mont Calamari.
Okay.
Yeah, right. That's right. See? You're a human. I don't want to be speciesist, but at that point in my career, when my fame was rapidly dwindling, I did not like sitting there watching two dogs get all the spotlight because they're cute dogs. And that's when I realized these famous corgis of Instagram are more famous than I'll ever be. And I don't understand how entertainment works anymore. And that's what my new book, Medallion Status, is all about.
It's a metaphor for the experience of the book as a whole.
I think that it is a metaphor for, yes, I think that that's fair to say, Connor. It's also a great story about corgis.
I think that the way that I've described it to people is, in Shawshank Redemption, when Andy Dufresne yeah. manages to, I think he does taxes for somebody. But his reward is that he gets all the men beers when they're roofing the deck.
Uh-huh,
the prison, and then someone comes over to offer him one of the beers, and he just sort of politely demurs and waves his hand, and he just enjoys watching the other people enjoy them. And that's what I felt when I was sort of sitting back and watching everyone else enjoy these dogs at this party.
Yeah, you were the star behind the star. You brought corgis to a party and made everyone happy.
Are they the most famous animals you've ever met, do you think? Who's the most famous animal now that Grumpy Cat is dead?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm very much fixated on Linus the Corgi and Chomper's the Corgi now. Just like you, I follow them.
I
seek out their favor. I seek out their likes on Instagram. I realize now where I stand in this pecking orgy, but that's a different thing. Pecking order.
Are they going to be at your book signing in San Francisco?
Well, Connor, they are. They're coming to my set because I've decided I gotta throw in my lot. Now I think there's something that happens when you grow up and you realize it's a mature thing to realize that the world is changing and that, you know, maybe maybe it's time to make way for some new young talent. Do you know what I mean? Maybe your time is over and it's the time for corgis.
I think it's been corgi o'clock for a long time in my world. So
yeah, and I'm not gonna fight it. I'm gonna join it if they'll have me. So you bet I put Linus and Chompers on the cover of my book. I want to sell books.
What was the process of getting them on the book cover? Was that something you had to fight for? Like there was a publisher into that?
Luckily, the cover of my new book, Medallion Status, like my previous book, Vacation Land, designed by the great Portland, Oregon-based graphic designer Aaron Draplin. Aaron Draplin is the designer and co-creator of the Field Notes line of notebooks,
okay,
among other many famous, cool, retro-y designs. And so I was like, I want you to do an illustration, because a lot of Medallion Status is really a book about all of the jobs that I've had since I was a weird 13-year-old on, all of the strange oddball jobs I had as a cheesemonger and a traffic counter and soup stirrer and then literary agent and then famous minor television personality, that perhaps being the strangest one of all. And then it's also about my gradual losing of that job, all my jobs on television, trying to panic, you know, with panic, replace that status by chasing Diamond Medallion Status in the Delta Airlines frequent flyer program. And that does not end well for me. So there's a lot of travel theme to the book. So I asked Draplin to work up something that might look like a 70s airline poster.
Huh.
For, like, there was an airline called Southern Airways, which would fly to, you know, Chattanooga, other small cities in the South, right? And they would have these, like, in the 70s, they had these beautiful sort of swinging Peter Max style collages of all the cool things to see in Chattanooga or whatever. And so I said, I'd like to make a collage of an airline, 70s airline poster where the destination is my brain. So these are all the stuff on the book are elements from the book. The place where I used to stay in L.A., the secret society at Yale that I snuck into, and other little hints and tidbits. There's an Admiral Akbar in Napoleonic costume on the back of the book.
Oh, man.
And then putting Linus and Chompers right in the middle, I sent Aaron a picture of them both together, and he did a version of them, and now they are the centerpiece of the cover of the book because corgis sell books. We all know this.
Yeah, right, immortalized. Yeah, I mean, and there is an opening now that Grumpy Cat has shuffled off this mortal coil, so this could elevate them to that next level.
I mean, I would say there should be a reality show called Next Famous Internet Animal.
Wow.
But
that's a great idea.
It's not a great idea. You know why? Because it's the idea of a 48-year-old man who doesn't understand what entertainment is anymore. that would be a show on television where entertainment is now on Instagram, right? And on screens and tablets and seat backs and pads and so forth. I mean, they don't need that should be an Instagram TV show. It shouldn't be a regular TV show, I think. I don't know.
I suppose they're probably on season 8 of it on TikTok already.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. It's a TikTok. See? You got to learn. You got to learn when your time is over. I went into a coffee shop not long ago and I said to the barista, who was a young woman, you know, what I wanted for coffee. And I noticed she was wearing overalls. And I said, I'm a very clever person. I said, I think you deserve an award in the category of overall excellence. And she said, nice dad joke.
Wow.
And that's how I died.
Yeah, no kidding. Yes.
That's how I died.
I have a murder up for John Hodgman here, and she misspelled your name on the cup. You mentioned your career as a literary agent, and we wanted to tie that in to the theme of our podcast. I want, but we have prepared some book, I guess, elevator pitches, and maybe we thought you could weigh in on whether this would have been a project you would have been interested in doing. In representing.
Can I talk to Mike for a second?
Yes, 1 second. I'll pass you over. Sure.
John, this is super high tech, don't you think?
It's the world of this is the next wave of entertainment.
I just absolutely love gremlins happening on the day that you're going to record, where you just are baffled. There's nothing you can do, and you're powerless before this faceless thing called technology. But here we are. How are you?
Well, are you saying that you had no choice but to put me on the phone with Connor all that time?
I will go to great lengths to
for kicking me down to the B team, Mike. No offense to Connor, he's a great kid. He knows a lot of corgis. I'm not going to cross him. But you and me, Mike, we're old school stars. Are you trying to humiliate me here? Come on, Mike. It's you and me, not Connor. Let him talk to the dogs.
Look, I've got a few minutes. I'm going to go in Carson tonight and do a quick 10.
It's their time now. It belongs to the corgis. It's not our time anymore,
it's
Mike.
It's the corgis' world. Here's my quick pitch. We did this actual book. Here's how I'm summing it up. And okay. You're a literary agent, and I'm in the elevator with you. I'm carrying a box of donuts and a cafe au lait. Yeah. Oh, hey, Mr. Hodgman, I'm 16 years old. I've read one book in my life, and that book is Conan the Barbarian. Now my book is about a barbarian named Grignar, who is imprisoned by an ancient religious cult and has to fight his way out by using as weapons the bones of a giant rat he killed in his prison cell. Also, I don't know what words mean, so I'm going to be using the thesaurus a lot. Are you interested?
Yeah.
Okay.
I really am.
Because this was probably the most entertaining of the books. This is The Eye of Argon, written by Jim Tice in the 70s.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this? It was passed around at sci-fi conventions, and there was a game of it, like read as many chapters as you can before laughing out loud.
Oh, okay. It was one of those early hate read experiences.
Yeah, but it's weirdly charming because he doesn't know what the word sluts means, and so he attributes it to mostly men, like, you know, get in that prison, slut. And then another one, he describes a woman as having a lithe, opaque nose, which I think one of the most delightful phrases that I've ever heard.
I mean, I think that I was an assistant to a literary agent and then a literary agent from 1994 to the year 2000, back in the last century. And I was painfully swamped in proposals for nonfiction books and novels.
Yeah.
So you definitely triggered some trauma there for me. Just the idea of someone coming up to me in an elevator saying, I have an idea for a book.
We wanted to know what is the
makes
thing,
me want to open my wrists.
Right. What did you pass around as a look? We're never going to publish this, but holy cow, is this delightful? Is there a piece out there that is sort of a secret literary agent? I wish we could read this, but we can't give it to anyone else.
I think that we had a wall. You know, bear in mind that this was back. We were behind the times even at the time, so we mostly received letters in the mail.
Handwritten or typed?
Well, if something was handwritten, then you knew you were dealing with a prisoner or a lunatic.
Okay.
Mostly it was typed. And a lot of the letters were extremely over-formal. A lot of dear sir or madam kind of, I hesitate to take your time. But here in this cover letter, I must forsooth prove to you that I am but one of the greatest writers in the world, kind of.
See, I do that. I still do that with my emails. Like, my dearest John Hodgman, it is with heavy heart that I take pen in hand to tell you that our Skype system is not working. You know,
I haven't gotten a my dearest John Hodgman from you in a long time.
It's been a while.
Because you're kicking me over to the B team, the Connors of the world.
I can't wait till he hears this back anymore. And hears the B team twice in one short chat.
Yeah, B minus.
Oh, no, my gosh. Connor, of course. He brought corgis into your life.
I know, but he like, I love him because he opened my eyes and he also broke my heart. But the what I was going to say is, people would write in letters, and some of them were, I mean, I say a wall of shame. We posted the letters that were the strangest, you know, and anyone who would send in a picture of themselves tended to make the wall. Like, it was just, that's not what it's about. We don't need your paid headshot, you know. We just need your passion and your ability to say words.
So all of my cover letters that included a shirtless picture of me that I sent to agents were pinned up on a wall and you mocked me?
I'm saying it's possible.
Okay.
I think especially there are lots of people who would send it, like, if it was a there was like the category of author photo alone. Author in mid-writing was another category. So person sitting at a desk with a pen,
to prove, yeah, here it is,
posing with a typewriter,
sure.
And then, of course, there was author with typewriter and dog was another one, and those were the ones, you know, because the fact is, and you know, to this day, someone just emailed me saying, "I know you stopped being a literary agent 19 years ago." He didn't say that, but he was like, "But I'm having a hard time getting people to read my novel, and here's what it's about." And I honestly felt I don't know if you've read Stephen King's It or seen It Chapter 2.
I haven't seen it. I saw Chapter 1. I have not seen it.
Yeah, I felt like Stanley getting the call from Mike saying, "It's back," and just quietly putting down the phone and walking into the other room and committing suicide. That's how I felt. I felt like a horrible creature had resurfaced from my past. But I wrote to the person. And I said, I haven't done this for a long time. I have no desire to get back into it. And I don't think that I necessarily know what's going on. But your question was, how do I get an agent's attention? Is there any tricks in a query letter to grab their attention? And I'm here to tell you there are no tricks. And in fact, the tricks tend to be a red flag that you may be an unstable personality. Like, if you send me a packet of Doritos or a picture, as I say, or any kind of like eye grabber, like, all I want is for you to say, "I've got this story that I have to tell. It's about a barbarian
who uses rat bones to slay his enemies.
Uses rat bones to kill."
Yeah.
And
yeah,
honestly, Mike, I think it's because you're just a good writer in at heart. When you told me that story, when you pretended to give me that bad pitch, it was a good pitch. I was like, "Yeah, I want to read this book."
The one that I don't think you'll bite on is another. We read this one. I don't know if you've heard anything about it, but Sean Penn's Bob Honey, Who Just Do Stuff. Do you have any impression of this, or have you heard of this?
I know that Sean Penn released this novel that just came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
know anything about it.
This is his follow-up. It is... it's peering into the mind of an absolute madman. It's like you say, it is a manifesto in the form of a book.
Uh-huh.
And I think Sarah Silverman said in her review, like, you know, Charles Bukowski just came in. Who's the other author? She just loved it. And it is a horrifying rant. And so he came out with a follow-up to it. And our listeners of our podcast are begging us not to do it again because we were miserable for the, you know, 6 weeks that it took to read it or whatever. But be on the lookout for Bob Honey.
So this is the second Sean Penn book?
Yes. Yeah. He wrote it sort of under he has a pseudonym, and he appears in his own book sort of a la Kurt Vonnegut, kind of, you know, Schlachthaus Fünf, that was me moment. Name is Pappy Pariah. So,
but if you had come to me and said in the elevator, "Hey, John Hodgman, You know this weird hobo who's with me? That's right. It's Sean Penn from the movies.
I think if I had just started, "Hey, John, it's me, Sean Penn," you would have been pressing the floor buttons immediately. I'm getting off here.
If it had been, "Hey, John, it's me, Sean Penn. I want to write a bunch of word salad down and publish it as the font of my brilliant brain."
Yeah,
I would say I will represent that.
Okay.
I mean, that's going to sell. People are going to buy that.
Did they, though? I don't know.
I don't know.
You never heard of it.
Maybe I don't mean people. Maybe I think, I can trick a publisher into buying this, because that's what an agent does, of course.
Yeah.
So far, your elevator pitches are 2 for 2. You're doing great.
Wow, fantastic.
I dare you to find something that I would actually reject.
How about this? A detective is unfrozen in the future to investigate the disappearance of a scientist and his hot daughter. He must battle his own crippling drug addiction as he wards off attempts on his life and sits through numerous meetings. Robot pimps make an appearance.
Now you lost me there.
Okay, damn it.
You lost me on robot pimps.
That was William Shatner's Tech Wars.
Oh.
So you just turned down a major franchise, buddy. You just got busted.
Yeah, well, you know, there are more than a few that I missed. I think I threw away a Nicholas Sparks query letter at some point. Don't tell my agency. I think I rejected the notebook. Too mushy. But I mean,
that is your biggest claim to fame. That's fantastic.
The query letter, though, like a query letter can start kind of like endearingly offbeat and kind of like, oh, this sounds like a crazy story, but you're in there. But then there all of a sudden be something like, and then there were robot pimps.
Yeah.
And something about those two words together just suggest, this is a particular erotic fantasy.
Yeah.
And I don't trust this person to be a good filter of their fantasies. So.
Let me give you this tip, though. If you meet a young person and you try to introduce yourself and you're saying, I'm John Hodgman. I was on television. I did this. And they're like, yeah, I don't know you. Just say, I rejected the notebook. And I'd be like, oh, hey. Hey, how you doing, buddy? It's good to meet you.
Yeah. Oh, you're that guy.
Yeah.
As I discuss in my book Medallion Status, people stopping me on the street recognizing me is something that happens very rarely these days. But my only hope is that at some point I'll be walking down Podcast Alley and someone will say, "Are you John Hodgman from Mike and Connor's podcast?"
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, "I don't know who Connor is, but yeah, I talked to Mike Nelson."
And here's a picture of a corgi, and then you're in. Your job is done.
Then I'm in. I'm secure.
John, we want to be respectful of your time. We thank you so much for joining us.
I thank you so much. I'm sorry that this was a little bit compromised due to my schedule.
No, that's...
I really appreciate you guys, as always, and look forward to seeing you soon. Do you think you'll come to Sketchfest this year, Mike?
We're debating it right now, today, so it's possible. Don't know.
Well, I vote for yes. Okay. But you do what you have to do.
I'd love to see
you out
there.
For your listeners, let me just say, thank you, Mike. Thank you, Connor. You're not the B team. You're the A team. You both are AA batteries, the two of you.
There you go.
And thank you, Linus and Chompers. Thank you, my whole team at UTA. Oh, they're playing me off. Medallion Status by John Hodgman coming out October 15th.
Yep. I love the cover. I saw it. I love it. Got it. Ordered it. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much. All right. I appreciate that.
So long, my friend.
Take care, you guys.
Take care.